You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. In the scripture reading, Joshua 1, 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and have a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and have a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father, we do thank you now as you bring us aside. We pray, Lord, that you settle our hearts from the things of this world that might distract us as we look into your word. And that your word, Father, may have its effect, may we be receptive to the leading of your Spirit, who will teach us all things pertaining to our Savior and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these graces, Father, we do ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. We have before us a study that is it's our journey through the Old Testament. And we came last week to the conclusion of the Torah, the first five books, the law. And actually, the Old Testament is divided into several collections of books, the first being the law, the second being historical, and this is the beginning. Joshua is the beginning of what we call the historical presentation of the Old Testament. The historical books run from Joshua all the way to Esther. There's 12 of them. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. I always like that. It's the easiest way I could remember it. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And I think when we get to Ruth and you read Ruth, Ruth judges Israel. Because what a beautiful picture of faithfulness from a Moabite. We find her even in the lineage of David, who is in the lineage of Christ. So what an amazing picture it is. But Joshua, Judges, Ruth, then we have 1 and 2 Samuel, 1, 2 Kings, 1, 2 Chronicles, and then we have Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Did I miss anything? Three on the end, three in the beginning, and six in the middle. Got it? And those are the 12 historical books. It is a picture of Israel and under a microscope, and quite quickly we see that it is a picture of their rebellion. It is a picture of their repentance. A picture of God's retribution on them because of their rebellion, then their repentance, and then their restoration. And it's over and over and over. And it's a sad picture, but it is a picture, nevertheless, of life. And it's a picture that we need to pay attention to, and that's not something I'm just trying to extrapolate out of it. It's something even that God has told us through the pen of Paul. If you'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes here, Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I would not that you should be ignorant that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us put Christ to the test as some of them also tested him and were destroyed by the serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and was destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Now you might stop and you might say, well, Derek, that's really during the time of the Acts to the nation Israel. I mean, it's all Jewish, isn't it? It all speaks of Israel and speaks of the things that happened to Israel. And if I'm a Gentile in that time, I don't really hear these things. I don't go to the temple. I don't go to the synagogue. I don't go where I might hear the law of Moses or the stories pertaining to Israel. And all of this pertains to Israel. But I want you to remember, there's a verse over in Ephesians where Paul says that, well, let's turn here, Ephesians chapter 2. And keep this in mind. Verse 19, Ephesians chapter 2. He says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Who are those apostles? Who are those prophets? What is that foundation? I think that it's easy for us to perceive that if all we had were seven books, they would be seven of the most glorious books ever written. But when Paul starts to write in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Without all the other books written before it, we would have to ask ourselves, who is this Lord? Who is the Father? And what is this heavenly places? And apart from all of these other books, and apart from knowing anything about them, we wouldn't know anything about who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And I think that's why it's important for us to remember that even though these are not to us, these are for us. And they're important for us to pay attention to. You go back to Corinthians real quickly in chapter 10, and you look at the problems that they had, and they're not uncommon. In fact, the problems that they have are still the same problems we have. Verse 6, lust after evil things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. Don't lust after evil things. Don't be idolaters. Don't be fornicators. Verse 8. Don't put Christ or God to the test. Verse 9. Verse 10, don't murmur. How important is that? How critical is that in our life, in our everyday walk? There is a way. God has provided that way. Now, where is that way and how do we find that way? Well, let's go back to Joshua because we'll find it right there in that first chapter. God has led the Hebrews out of Egypt. He has redeemed them. He has sanctified them. He has given them their law. He is ready to fulfill their promise now after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness where every need that they had was cared for. Maybe not according to their want, but according to the provision of God. And we find ourselves in those situations many times over and over and over, having a need, having an idea about how that need should be fulfilled, and yet having it fulfilled in God's way and not our way. Now, we had a choice at that time to be grateful, to be excited, to be thankful, to accept what He has done for us. And when we do, then we have a wonderful relationship with Him. It is a relationship that God calls successful and prosperous. And it's not the way the world measures success and prosperity. So how is that way achieved in our life? God tells Joshua, verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous. You need to be strong and courageous in the things that pertain to God. First of all, you have the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You have everything of yourself that battles against all the other things on the outside.
You have an old nature that has an inclination to want to do the things that are from the outside. And when I mean the outside, I'm talking about the things of the world. The things that you see on TV, the things that you hear from your friends, or how you're supposed to react, or what you're supposed to do. And we're so subjected to that. I mean, just look at, wide ties are back in. There was a time when wide ties were out, now they're back in. And we'll go back to thin ties, and then we'll go back to, you girls, you know more about that than us guys, but some of us fashion-minded guys. It's true. It just over and over and over. And it's constantly a challenge. And I dare say, I fear that even here in America, where the light seems to have shined very brightly, that we're losing that brightness. We're falling aside. And we see part of the problem when we study this these Old Testament books. So we need to be strong when it comes to the things of the Lord. We do need to be courageous. Verse 7 continues, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Not success and prosperity before, but after. And it is success and prosperity that comes along the lines of God's idea of success and prosperity. Well, what is that? Okay? That's a good question. I want to be successful so I can do wonderful things. I want to be prosperous so I can bless other people. I want. Who's the focus of that? Yeah. Instead of what God wants you to do. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Wisdom and understanding. The wisest man in the world was given. He had a choice between all those other things. But Solomon chose wisdom. And in that wisdom, he had understanding. It's important. Wisdom and understanding are two different things. Wisdom is having the knowledge of God, but understanding is putting it into practice. In chapter 3, verse 13, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. There is a deceitfulness in riches. There is a deceitfulness that comes from the wanting of riches. Contentment, godly contentment, comes from, come back to Joshua chapter 1. It is understanding this law. It is knowing it. And not just knowing it from the head, but from the heart. And that's the kind of man Joshua was. That was the kind of man that succeeded Moses. And that's the kind of man that God chose. Joshua was a man who was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Go over to Numbers chapter 27. Joshua wasn't even born by the time Moses had left Egypt. He reigned 40 years. I think he died when he was like around 110. So what would that put him back at? 70? When he went into the land and he reigned. And so at 70, he spent the first 40, the last 40 years of that life, down to 30, he spent in the wilderness. And Moses was 40 years in the wilderness with him, but then 40 years on the backside of the desert. So Joshua was born, about 10 years after Moses had already gone. And he comes up and what a great portrayal in the movie by John Derrick of Joshua. Wasn't he a stoneman? You know, he cut stone and he loved that woman. What was her name? Miriam? No, it wasn't Miriam. What was her name? Gosh, I can't even remember that part of the movie. But he had no idea who Moses was. He wasn't alive during those years where he saw the glory of this prince of Egypt, this son of Pharaoh's sister. But he was taught the things that he needed to be taught. He was taught the things because he was a Hebrew, and they taught Hebrews that. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was raised up in the book. He was taught the things that pertain to Abraham. He knew that there was a hope ahead of him and his nation. There was the promise given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew that Joseph at one time had been the prime minister of all of Egypt. He knew those things. He was raised up in them, and he knew that there was going to be a deliverer. And when Moses came back, he knew that was the deliverer. He wasn't looking for deliverance from anything other than the hand of God. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 15, Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord thy God of the spirits of all flesh set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and who may go in before them and who may lead them out and who may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep that have no shepherd." Did I read that right? "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thou Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit, and lay thine hand upon him." Where did that come from? It came from that upbringing. It doesn't just overtake you. There are things that you have to learn in your walk with the Lord. You don't just get saved and then all of a sudden become the most perfect saint. I mean, you see them every day on TV a week after they're saved, and in a year or two you hear about them falling. They fall. They make mistakes. Because why? It takes time to learn the things of the Lord. It takes time to appropriate them and test them and prove them and try them and see that the Lord is good. And that's what Joshua had done. And we're going to see in just a minute, we'll see someone who didn't do that. His name is Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It was there from the day he was born, and he was a Nazarite. But how did he end up? We'll look at that in just a minute. Joshua, come back to Joshua. Joshua has this choice before him in verse 8 to do according to all that is written therein. You have that choice. I have that choice. And it's in doing that, and it's in following that. It's even when we make mistakes. It's in when we do fall down to our knees and we turn to the Lord, even as the nation of Israel does time and time again, as they did in the wilderness and as they do during their stay in the promised land, that we begin to seek the Lord. We begin to trust in the Lord. We begin to let the Lord make the decisions. And he hadn't made a bad one yet. Joshua lives his life leading them across the Jordan into the land of Canaan, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You remember when Abraham was led out, or was first given the blessing that Abraham was told to sojourn in this land, and he said, what? And the Canaanite was already in the land. It's the land of Canaan. Canaan was the son of Ham. Noah had three kids. Remember those guys? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And all the rest of the world comes from these three guys and their wives. And Ham had a son. His name was Canaan. And the Canaanite was already in the land when Abraham was called into the land. And it was the land that was promised him. And the land of Canaan is that little piece of dirt between the Mediterranean and the mountain range, about 50 miles east of the Mediterranean. It's 150 miles long from the top down to the bottom. This mountain range had four rivers that flowed out of it. There was one called the Jordan that flowed down to the south, and this land had tremendous amount of water and tremendous amount of fertility. And it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. They had spent 40 years in the desert, and now it was time to go over and conquer. And they go over and they conquer the land. They take Jericho. Do you remember Jericho? Jericho was the first defense. But it was another activity of God showing His miraculous way. They didn't take the city of Jericho by force. All they did is they lined up all of these priests. They had seven trumpets. They had the ark. And they put a guard in front of them and a guard in back of them. And in 7 days, they walked around it once a day, blowing the trumpets. On the seventh day, they walked around it, I think, seven times. They blew the trumpet and they shouted, and the wall came down. Leveled flat. You can read about that. God always showing that He was the one who was doing the job. And Joshua was always the one who trusted in God, who believed in what he had to say and followed his direction. And he even at the end, turn to the last chapter, chapter 24, Joshua tells them, tells who? Those that are to remain after his death, that they always have this choice before them, who to serve. Verse 14 of chapter 24 of Joshua. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, it's you go, wait a minute. They served who? That's what he said. On the other side of the river, they served the gods in Egypt. I could see that as a nation. I could see that happening by and large to the greater part. There is always a remnant. There is always a group that did not. I think Joshua was one of those when he lived in Egypt. There were those when they came out who turned them away from Moses, who turned Aaron into a priest of Baal, and they made a golden calf not 90 days after they'd been out. They're always there. They'll always be there. They'll be in your family. They'll be in your workplace. They'll be in your neighborhood. They'll be in your social organizations. They'll be in every facet of life that you ever walk. Bunko, your foursome, that tees off at 8 o'clock. They're always going to be there. And you need to remember to be strong and courageous. It's not in your face, but it is bold. It is bold. He says, now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him, and in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now they do, and it doesn't take them very long. Because if you'll go to Judges, chapter 2, two pages to the right, you go to Judges, chapter 2, verse 7. It says, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in that wonderful land, the hill country of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill, Gilesh. And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them. Now, that generation that wandered in the wilderness with Joshua, they all died above 20 years of age. 600,000 of them, plus, died. And during that time, 600,000 more, under 20 and born, came into the promised land. Do you know, it's interesting, they were not circumcised. And yet that was the sign of the covenant, of the relationship, the personal relationship between the nation Israel and the covenant of Abraham and God. Circumcision, Genesis chapter 17. And in chapter 5 here, back in Joshua chapter 5, you'll see, now don't go there because stay here where you are, you'll see that Joshua has to circumcise every one of them before they go into the land. Why did they quit? Verse 10. And all that generation were gathered in their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, who knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now, there is part of the reason why this group of people begin to fall away from God. The group following Joshua, and the people who with Joshua saw all the miracles that God had done. Not only did they see him in Egypt, they saw him when they came across Jordan on dry ground. They saw him when the walls of Jericho fell. And when they go into the land of milk and honey, they see the manna completely quit. I mean, here for 40 years, it's gone. They had manna, and then the next day, it's gone. It's over. I think part of the problem is that they do not remember the things that God has done. See, there's nothing. Come back to Joshua 24, back to those couple of pages of that 17th verse. See, there's nothing that will move the heart of a man or a woman more than the recollections in their life of the things that God has done. In verse 17, look at this. The Lord our God, He it is who brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. How did He do that? Well, let's begin with bringing Moses back, the prince of Egypt, and the 10 wonderful miracles, and the institution of the Passover, and the blood, and then the destruction of Pharaoh's army, and walking through the Red Sea with the walls of water on either side of them. And you know, I don't think it was 5 miles upstream that all of a sudden an earthquake happened. And you know, people have tried to explain this in so many interesting ways. It just shows you the imagination of man. And really, the movie, Ten Commandments, I think that's probably a very accurate portrayal of how it happened. If you read the passage, it was a wall on either side of him, and they went across on dry ground. And then in the desert, how God protected them, how God preserved them, and how God brought them through 40 years of wandering to the promised land, as He promised. There's nothing that will move your heart more than the recollection of what? Who brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt? You know, if I pray for a $10 bill today and I get it, tomorrow I'm probably going to be praying for a $20. So what's your point, Derek? My point is it takes time for us to learn these things and then to believe in them and have faith in them and then to put them in practice. And then as we look back, we begin to see, wow, it all started with those wonderful miracles back then. And then it happened all over 40 years. God did protect and preserve. And God did bring us into the, quote, promised land. And it's those things that move the heart. Not only does that move the heart, look at the next phrase in that verse, verse 17. He brought us out of the house of bondage. Who was overseeing you in times of difficulty? And in difficult times, who was it that brought you out of a house of bondage? And look at the next phrase in verse 17. Who, speaking of God, did those great signs in our sight? Who has the power? God. Who will give you the victory? God. You remember Gideon? He had 32,000. We're going to look at that in just a minute. Gideon had 32,000. God said, you know, I'm not going to let you win this battle against the Midianites. If 32,000 of you go beat the Midianites, who's going to get the glory? God whittles it down to 300, and it's 300 that go in. And, you know, oh, we don't have a chance here. But God said, go, and Gideon's leading, so let's follow. And, you know, I heard a guy say, this last week, he said, and I can't remember who he was quoting. It was a president of the United States. It might have been Woodrow Wilson, but it doesn't matter. The quote's the most important thing. He said, I would rather work for a cause that fails that must succeed eventually than work for a cause that succeeds that eventually will fail. So lead on, Gideon. And they defeat the Midianites. God, you know what happens to us? Hold your hand there. Go over to Proverbs chapter 30. What's this guy's name? Agar? The words of Agar. Verse 7. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. Oh, if you could learn this when you're 8 years old. If you could learn the things that Joshua learned, and if you could believe them and trust in them and follow the way of the Lord, have a heart that is yielded to Him. Verse 7, two things have I required of thee. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove from me vanity and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Great is godliness with contentment. That's where we need to be. Verse 9, why is this? Why? Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? You know, you think if you won the lottery, you wouldn't do that. But you know, you would. One time, maybe two times or three times, and you go through that awful mess because you did it. And you would have that guilt. and then you'd suffer that grief, and then you would suffer, you would enjoy grace because God would understand, because you turned to Him, and you would receive glory. And that's not anything different than what Israel did. They rebelled. They suffered. They had retribution from God whenever they rebelled. They repented, and He restored them. Yeah, if I was full, I'd probably think, look what I have done. I wouldn't be the first, and I won't be the last. Or lest I be poor, he goes on and he writes, and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I've done that. Oh, you know, you've done that. Oh, you fudge a little bit. You know, you get that. The example I like to use is, you know, too much change back at the grocery store. Okay, the shoe fits. Come back to Joshua now, because the power is in God to give you victory. So there's nothing like the recollection of what God has done, not only in delivering you and bringing you out of bondage from great difficulty, but also the power of God in those victories that you begin to enjoy. And then the last thing he says in this verse, he has preserved us all the way wherein we went. Even when I was weak and I faltered and I fell, he preserved us in all the ways wherein we went. He was patient and understanding. He was loving and gracious and kind. But you don't learn that in a day. You don't learn that in a night. You learn that over weeks and months. You learn that over raising children. You learn that over raising grandchildren. You learn that over persevering and trusting in God. And nothing will move your heart more than that. And that's why Joshua could say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The generation that followed forgot about all those things. And so they fell into, go back to Judges chapter 2. In this period of time, when God brought them out of Egypt, about 1400 B.C., and this period of time of the Judges lasts for about 400 years. I think that's what it says over, I just had a mental blank. All of a sudden I want to go to 200 and something, but I think it's 400 and something years. But we go down to about 1100 B.C., 11th century B.C., from 1400 down to that time period in the Judges. And time again, they fall away from God. In chapter 2, verse 11, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people who were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord. And how did that happen? It happened because they didn't obey the Lord. The Lord said, wipe them out, and they didn't wipe them out. Judah did a good job, but the other tribes didn't, and they began to become infiltrated with those people who lived in that land. And so they began to pick up some of their customs, and they began to intermarry with them, and they began to become diluted or polluted in their way, thinking all along that they were still serving the Lord, because, you know, we did go down to the synagogue, or we went to the temple, or we made it to Easter service. Yeah, it's important now, Easter service, you know, the resurrection, He lives. We sing some wonderful songs. I can't remember what they were, but I'll check it out next Easter when it comes around again. We live that way as a whole. I'm not saying you, but there are people in your family who live that way. There are people in your family who never opened this book, who couldn't tell you the first book in this book. And they sit there and they think they're Christian. We got 93% of the people in this country, I think that's the right number, but it's a high number, who say, we're Christian. And we know they're not. They've never had a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never confessed their sins. They've never felt the cleansing power that God has when sin is revealed and conviction exposes the ugliness of being human. They never enjoyed the cleansing power of the grace of God in their life. They really haven't. If they had, you know what they would do? There would be that conflict in them to love you instead of be distanced from you. There would be that conflict in them to realize that there's something wrong. They have no conflict. They have no conflict with abortion. They have no conflict with homosexuality. They have no conflict with pornography. They don't care because His Spirit is not in them. And yet they think that they're Christian. God brings these judges. Let's go to chapter 6. This is Gideon. He's the sixth judge. Easy. And God pulls Gideon out to fight the Midianites. Verse 1, children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. That was so bad they had to live in, look in verse 4. Verse 3. It was up. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites... No, I'm sorry, verse 2. I should have kept reading where I was. The children of Israel made themselves dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. They had to go live in a mountain. That's how bad this... And God grabs Gideon. Gideon throws the fleece out and says, if it's me, do your thing. And God does His thing on the fleece. Great story. And it's through Gideon and these 300 warriors in chapter 7 that God delivers them. And Gideon rules for 40 years. But guess what? Chapter 8, verse 33. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and played the harlot with Balaam and made Baal Pittith their god. How is that? How can that be? And yet we do. We don't see it on a grand scale like the Scriptures do tell us, but we personally experience it. And that's why Paul says, you know, to them they have to bring every imagination under the power of Christ. Every single one. Go over to chapter 13, the 13th judge. There were 12 men and one woman. These were the judges who judged Israel. And these judges were sent by God to deliver them. Verse 1, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man, Zorah, the family of Danites. Remember Dan, one of the children of Jacob. And his name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bore not. And an angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Verse 5, lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God. Verse 14, Samson's born. Let's back up two verses. Chapter 13, verse 24. Chapter 13, verse 24. The woman bore a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. And Samson went down to Timnah, saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of Philistines, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman. Those five words right there tell you about Samson. What was his weakness? What part of his life did he not turn over to God? Why did he fall to Delilah? And what a horrible thing happened to him when she cut his hair and they captured him. They burned his eyes out and made him tread grain like a mule. And it was there that he finally got his sight. He didn't get his physical sight, but he got his spiritual sight. You don't like that. You wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that. I don't want to go through that. I wouldn't want to go through the wilderness. I don't want to go through the difficulties. I don't want to experience the consequences of sin. And sometimes that hardens us in a certain area of our life or a certain way. And it shouldn't. We need to learn to thank God for what He has taught us and how He has brought us through those times. Chapter 16, verse 28, Samson called upon the Lord and said, Lord God, remember me. And God remembered him and gave him strength. He killed more people, more Philistines on that day than he'd killed his whole life. That's what Scripture says. You don't know how to do it? The rest of Judges, never mind. Just That's the end of the 13. They still have problems. Go to Ruth. I want to get to Ruth. Ruth is a picture. It's not Joshua judges Ruth. Ruth judges Israel because Ruth is a Moabite. The Moabites come from Lot. Lot had children. Had two daughters. Remember they came out of Sodom? They got their dad drunk and they had children by their dad. And the offspring were the children of Moab. And she was a Moabitess. She married one of the sons of Naomi. Orpah was the other. Naomi had two sons. One of them married Orpah, the other married Ruth. Naomi's husband died, as did her two sons, and she was left with two daughter-in-laws. One of them, Ruth, who is the subject matter of this book, chose to be with her mother. Why? Verse 16. Ruth said unto Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to turn away from following thee. For where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." That is a commitment that all of us should have. That is the commitment. And what a blessing to her. Boaz comes along, spreads his garment on her, and takes her as his wife, and then she ends up in the line of Christ. Amazing. Amazing. This is the beginning of the historical books. We're going to pick up from here next time, and 1st, 2nd Samuel, Samuel, Eli, Samuel, David, most of that's about David and Saul, or Saul and David, and then Solomon and the kings, and we'll kind of look at them. I don't know how quickly we'll move through it. I do want to move quickly, but there are the historical books encompass this time period from the going in of Jordan into the promised land to Malachi, the prophets. You have the law, you have the historical books, you have the poetry, and you have the prophets. And these make up the Old Testament. And so we're going to continue to go through, and God's revelation and His work and His activity go throughout all the books, and they're all kind of historical, but they're classified primarily that the historical books begin with Joshua and end with Esther, and we're going to just keep cruising through that. Trust the Lord. Study His Word. If you do that, you will be prosperous. You will be successful. You will gain wisdom and understanding. And that's the success that God wants to give. In Psalms chapter 1, read that chapter. And it says that man who meditates on these things day and night shall prosper. And he'll be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and his leaf shall never wither. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time and looking to your word. Thank you, Father, for these examples that were given. And though not to us, they're for us. We need to pay attention. Lord, that even we, many times, murmur against you. And we choose our way instead of your way. That, Father, as we look back on those times, we see your faithfulness, your goodness, and how your outstretched arm delivered us. And may we give you the glory and you the praise. And we thank you for these graces in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.